lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic, a podcast.
After you, mate.
Oh, mate. Episode 130, big dog.
Dedicated to 130R. It's Suzuka.
Yep, I like that. I like that. Yeah, that's a man that just made that up on the fly.
Bit
like
of homaged.
That. We did pre-record last week, but we had the week off, which was nice.
We
and
did.
then we actually ended up in the city together, unplanned, and then got pissed as on a Monday night. And the our girls were like, "You guys plan this?"
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. So I was out for dinner, and James is like, "I'm a street away, a street and a half away from you." So now can't bloody escape on a Monday night, can we? It was good fun. No, we had a week off. I hope you guys enjoyed our half yearly. It got lots of views. We were happy with that. Get on Joel Kelso as well. That was a bit of a special ep, half yearly review of him, and he. Yeah, he's got some great plans for the future, that boy. So
super smart, isn't he?
Yeah, superstar. Misunderstood, I think, Joel. He's get on and have a listen, guys. It's about a 45-minute on the way to work. Give it a listen. It was a really good pod.
Yeah, half yearly review show was really good. We had heaps of great feedback from everyone listening to that, so thank you.
Yeah.
But that was they're always fun, those ones, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, it's so good to reflect and talk about the year that was and how exciting the next few months are gonna be. I mean, we've got 14 races in 10 races in 14 weeks or something along the lines of that. So, yeah, and we're going to be attending a couple, so we're super excited for that.
It was interesting when we were talking about the last and our half-yearly review show, when we were talking about being in Thailand, we just didn't know how of a big an impact Mark Marquez's first win was going to have and then what was to happen for the rest of the season because, you know, after watching Austria and these other rounds, it has to be the most... It could be the most dominant display I've seen in motorsport, just about, or in MotoGP at least, because this man doesn't even look like losing. And then, okay, he's 0.7 behind Bezecchi for how many laps, but you just knew the whole time that he was just going to reel him in and then pass him. And credit to Bez, he had a crack back, but he reeled him. He just is not looking like losing at all.
No, he just waits for the tyres just to get to that point, doesn't he? And then just flicks a switch. And it's probably a good thing for us that he does wait because otherwise he'd be 20 seconds, 30 seconds ahead of anyone this year in any race. You know, he's got so much in the tank. And look, it was a great race. It was. And, you know, a lot of people are saying it's boring and he's winning every race. He's won, is it five in a row?
Six
in a row. You know, it is, but domination, I mean, you can't argue it. It's amazing what we're seeing at the moment. You just got to embrace it, guys, because
you won't see it.
It could be the best comeback in motorsport history, and we've spoken that before.
He's on track for that.
Yeah.
Because, it's just incredible. It really is. And it's amazing to watch someone just at full flight. And what's scary is on the other side of that box is Pecco Bagnaia. We obviously have to dive into that.
We will unravel that a lot. I've got a lot to talk to you about that because it's dire.
The pinch, and even GG Deligno has come out and said a few things about that. Yeah. But let's get the results. Oh, what are we talking first? Motor Heaven first, T-Shirts.
Yes. Motor Heaven, thank you for the love and support. Now, guys, Motor Heaven have also launched Bike Heaven. Yep. So, if you're a cyclist, which I know a lot of our listeners are.
Yeah, mountain bikes.
Jump on board. Still free delivery over $150.
Heaps of different, heaps of brands in there. And they're kicking off as well. There's been heaps of sales coming through, which is really good. But yeah, heaps of really good brands there. Super Fast Dispatch. The guys are doing an awesome job down there. Motor Heaven, Bike Heaven. Check them out. Aussie owns, Aussie run. You call them up and you get an Aussie person on the phone. Like, that's what everyone wants. That's true. We got Google reviews about that.
That's unbelievable. Now, guys, we've got something a bit to announce. So, starting from next week, Hungarian Grand Prix, we're going to start doing something different with Patreon. So, we're going to have our normal pod, of course, but then we're going to have a half an hour show post that for extra chats at the end and maybe unravel some more controversial topics and have a bit more free-throwing conversation in that sense. So,
more hot takes.
Yeah. So if you are been thinking about Patreon, jump on board in the next week. We'll have a little discount for the next week to jump on. So if you want to subscribe, support the channel, support us, we really appreciate it. So pod won't change. We'll still have our weekly pod, of course. It's not nothing's going to change in that sense. It's just that extra few topics that we'll talk about. So.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And we always find ourselves at the end of each pod that we could still keep talking. So I thought maybe we could just put this into an extra podcast, an extra Patreon episode. And all of it helps us more than you'll ever know.
Yeah, and it's just consistency from our end as well. We're going to be every week we do a pod, we'll have that extra chat, and if it's an F1 pod, we'll talk about a little bit of MotoGP,
yeah,
vice versa in that. So yeah, it's something to be very excited about on our end.
We're very excited about that.
Yes, and you guys are still, please, the love on YouTube and Instagram and Apple and Spotify, please like and subscribe and rate as well if you can on those channels, which we really appreciate. So,
we really do.
Without further ado, I'll jump into results. It's getting a bit of a normal Marc Marquez first place.
Yeah.
Fermín Aldeguer, I mean, we'll touch on that. He had an amazing race. And boy, I was wrong at the start of the year, and I'll call that. Bezzecchi took it to him. We both left him out of our top five, which we were both thinking, why didn't we put him in there? Like, it didn't make sense, did it?
I really thought it wasn't going to be an Aprilia track.
Well, it never has been.
Yeah.
It never has been. This could be the turning point.
Yeah.
Pedro Acosta showed every bit of fight he could in fourth. Bastianini, fifth. Could have been right up there if he didn't run wide turn one. Mir, finally, sixth.
Yeah,
top
good
six.
On him. Awesome.
Second top six for Honda.
Yeah.
Congrats to him. Finally didn't get taken out. Brad Binder, seventh. Pecco Bagnaia, eighth. We'll talk about that soon. Raul Fernandez, ninth, had a great weekend. And Alex Marquez, rounding out the top 10, which is, yeah, we'll talk about that as well, because he just couldn't get past. I mean, that's the current state of MotoGP.
Yeah, I've got a little bit on that.
I'm used to saying F1 because F1's like that, but he just couldn't get through the pack at all. And we saw that whole Grand Prix.
Austria. That's chicane. I'm not a fan of that.
It's
chicane.
A shit track, isn't it?
It is now. It's just not promoting the racing that you want, because that chicane just kind of blows. It stuffs the whole flow of that track.
It does. And look, it just doesn't. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't flow nicely, and you come out of that first corner and you're like, oh, finally some slipstream and like a pass up to turn two and bang, and they just break into this stupid
nothing
90 degree right hand chicane. And yeah, I mean, we've said it for the last couple of years. It's just such a disappointing...
What do they call it? Turn 2A.
Turn 2B.
It's just the worst names you could ever... It's everything about it is terrible. And it has... Austria before that was one of the best tracks.
Yeah.
It's so simple.
Completely ruined the track. Because turn 3 and then that run to turn 4, it's just... It's so hard to pass downhill. That's one of the hardest braking points on the calendar, that turn 4. Right-hander. So
if you're at turn 4 on a Friday, it'll be a great spot to watch, because you see them all go super hairy into that corner.
Dan Hill, off camber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fast.
So yeah, no one wants hard to... Breaking. And you saw, no one really made a pass at the inside on that corner. It was either you pass on the slipstream on the straight, but no one really passed in the braking zone. So
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they've spent the money. It's not changing anytime soon, but it has changed that track immensely.
Yeah, it definitely has. Going back to Alex Marquez, so what he was talking about, and this is more of a question for you as well, is he was annoyed that his long lap was a 3.6 second long lap. Now, most tracks are normally a 1.7 or 2.3. And his argument is, should all long lap penalties be the same?
I don't think it's possible for them to be the same, is it? I mean, every track's different.
Yeah, but true, but surely there could be a way where you could, like on the tarmac exit, like the tarmac runoff, you could change that long lap penalty loop. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, turn one, it's tough because you have to get it, you have to be enough out of the line of sight, I think. And then it's just an awkward merging back onto the track, isn't it?
So it's always awkward.
You can't merge on too quickly because everyone's going to be running wide out of the chicane there.
It's like Sachsenring, the last corner.
Yeah.
They merge on and they're already looking up through the straight, out through the corner, and they don't see anyone coming on. So it's a weird one.
It is. Same as, Sachsenring, you're right. It's it is a weird one. I don't know. I mean, I think it's crossed my mind before. I'm thinking, oh, it's harsh that it's...
It is harsh.
Yeah. But the only thing is, you got to remember that every track's different. It is quite rare. Not that they're rare these days. You carry over penalty from the race before, but it's becoming more and more a thing, isn't it? I don't know. Every track's different, I think.
I kind of get what you're saying, and I don't mind how every track is different. Like, and the penalties are a little bit different, but it is, I guess, rough. But don't do the crime, then you don't do the time.
Yeah, exactly right. You shouldn't be out there anyway.
yeah.
And you know what? Re-watching that incident with him, and you said to me, like, he said in the media post-race that, we're talking about in Brno that... You know, I wasn't trying to pass. I was just sort of offline.
And he was trying to set up for the next corner.
Yeah, and he lost. And he did. He honestly did. He just clipped the back of Mir, and it was just an unlucky incident. But yeah, I mean, it fully wrecked his race, didn't it?
Yeah,
completely wrecked his race. two weekends in a row. So, but it's hard for the championship as well, James. That's the thing. I mean, it just bridges a bigger gap, doesn't it?
Well, Marquez keeps winning, and then P2 in the championship's coming 10th, and P3's 8th, and just nowhere.
Yeah. And Bezzecchi had such a slow start to the year that, he's showing form, but he's nowhere near on points. So
I think he's still like 30 or 40 points from Bags, maybe a bit closer now. But he could catch Bags.
Oh, easily. Yeah. I mean, at the moment, just on that, it's just, I don't know how long you can just keep blaming the bike. You know, where does the buck stop and say just, you know, I know obviously the bike is struggling for his style, but the greats of the history of the sport adjust their riding style.
Yeah, well, JJ Dillinger came out and said that his weekend was very underwhelming, especially after a promising qualifying and practice, and he was pretty quick. And he even came out and said, I found more on the front end. But he goes into the sprint race, and you can see him, the whole bike was wobbling. He just didn't have any traction. And then the same thing. And then he pulled into the pits. And then the main race.
Do you think he gave up?
I don't know. I don't know if it was a technical issue or what. But then to come eighth and be, I think he was, did I write it down here? I believe he was 8 seconds slower than his race time last year. Bagnaia. So that's a damning stat. And he can't, that's the front end. That's the front end of that bike is what he can't work out. And he just has no feeling or, you know, you see him like just, he can't tip it in the corners like any other rider. And then he's getting bullied out of it everywhere. Like, wasn't he? He was getting bullied out of almost every corner by like people like Rael Fernandez or Binder.
Brad Binder.
Whoever it is. And, but you, there's the, he's obviously feeling the pinch, and he is now, he's starting to almost lose his cool about it. And he's even said that.
Mentally done, 100%. Even Brad Binder comes up the inside of him, knocks his leg. Yeah, it could have been a nasty incident. But he could have done more to keep that bike, easier said than done, on the track. Mm. Sails off into the AstroTurf, whatever you call it out there.
Yeah.
Comes back on the track and just loses all pace. Going back to the sprint race quickly, for me, Michelin came out and said there's nothing wrong with the tire. Mm. Ducati said there was nothing wrong with the bike.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So... Right. Where does it come from?
I don't know. So this is the real issue. Like, and
I'm not saying he's faking it.
No, like, of course
it's
not.
It's something, but you know, in racing, I think you can just, you got to push through and you got to finish the race. You know, you owe it to everyone to finish the race. You can't just pull into the pits unless you're injured. You don't pull into the
unless
pits.
Unless it's like he felt it was dangerous or something, because he was dead last, man. There has to be something wrong.
He was dead last because he ran off the track three times. So.
So like you could see the footage of him accelerating out and the whole bike was wobbling. Like, that's not normal.
Yeah, I know.
But the braking is his real issue. And like he can't, no one knows and he can't tell us why. And the scary part is, unfortunately for him, is Marc Marquez is, bro, a demon on the brakes and making it work everywhere.
Yeah.
But then you got Digio on the other side who is struggling for form. He's had a couple glimpses, but realistically, he hasn't been anywhere either. But Bagnaia has got, he's got a rough second half of this year and he needs to find something, man, because if you look at Fermanelt again, what he's doing, he is, for a 20-year-old, whatever it is, in that late race pace on that GP24, and what he's kind of improving as this year comes on. Like, he podiumed, I think it was Le Mans in his fifth race or whatever it is. I know it's mixed conditions, but still.
Nah, boy, I was wrong, man. I had him as a sport kid coming to MotoGP with that contract too early, and he is... got real talent. And to push to Marc Marquez, I know we say he's got so much up his sleeve, but to pass Bezzecchi the way he did, block pass, turn three.
Great pass.
And then just go and have that pace, have the tire underneath him. You know, that was a special, special race from him.
Oh, easily his best race, obviously.
And you could see Ducati to Tardozzi made the pass of Bezzecchi, and they were like, let's go. Like, they're thinking to themselves, oh my God, we've got this young kid. We've got this talented young kid. Thank God. Because we've got... You know, Bagnaia's on an old. Marquez is probably got what we spoke about last week. You think 10 years left, but I think a bit less. Like, they have to look at the future. And realistically, it's him, you know?
It is him. If he keeps this up, and then next year is going to be the year where, you know, we see what bike he's going to be on. And if it's a GP25 and if he's having the same issues as Bagnaia or struggling like Didja, okay, it's different. Like, he's on a GP24. We know that. But for him, he is like... in the seat that you want to be in if you're not Mark Marquez. So, T-Shavs, mate, we all know that you're a Mr. Aprilia. You love riding. I want to know, where do you get your motorcycle gear from?
Mate, there is only one place I get all my gear from, apart from the guy down the street, and that's Motor Heaven in Moorabbin, okay? They are a family-owned business, which we love. They always have the best prices, and if I want to get something shipped to my house, it's free delivery over $150. So for me, it's really a no-brainer.
Right, so you get all the best gear, and then is it better than going to the dumb big corporate chains?
They don't care about you. No. You know, you can't call the owner of them to ask questions.
No.
Adrian's always on my phone list, and I can always call him to
He's always calling you.
He is, definitely.
Yeah, no, I love it. So head to motorheaven.com.au where you never pay full price. They got all the big brands, super fast dispatch, ship anywhere around Australia. You can get whatever you want.
It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Yeah, there's talk of Alex is definitely going to get a 26 bike for next year. That's the word on the street. What are they going to do with Fermin? I'm not sure. Do they really want to go on to a 25 bike? I do believe the 26 bike is, because this engine freeze they've been talking about, that's going to be more along the lines of the 24. So it will actually go back to that sort of spec, as I was saying in the media, like just a shiny new 24 spec bike, because they just can't develop another engine. So for me, it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of the bikes will end up being very similar by the sounds of things, but... Yeah, I mean, Fermin, Alex, Grassini, will they get two factory bikes, you know?
I don't know. Like, they're only supposed to have three factory Ducatis. And one of them is supposed to be for VR46, but both those riders aren't performing.
No, Didier is a strange one. I just can't blame injuries anymore. I mean, it was weird that Morbidelli was, they were neck and neck the whole race and they were out like 12th and 13th. Like, that didn't make sense either.
Well, like, Morbidelli was injured for the past two races, whatever it is. So, I can kind of understand that. And Maverick Vinales was as well. And then he pulled out after FP1. So you can't forget that. Digi is a real, real tough one to crack.
Yeah.
But you got this kid Fermin, like, and he's killing it. And, you know, kudos to him. And hopefully he keeps it up because he's in the hot seat with Alex Marquez for a factory Ducati ride, which is wild to say that there's already pressure on Pecco Bagnaia.
Oh, well,
but he's still got another year, Bagnaia.
Word on the street. You know. I mean, I do believe, and I'm not going to get into the silly season too much, but... I do believe Bagnaia, and I've said this, James, for months, that he has to go somewhere else. He's not going to progress his career at Ducati anymore. If a Marquez is there, he's not. So for him to sign with a Yamaha, you know, Quartararo Bagnaia looking to 27, I just think that's a great, you know, it's a bloody perfect lineup for Yamaha. And I don't know why they wouldn't throw the kitchen sink at him. Mm. Offer a whole new... lease on life, you know. I mean, I know he's a double-time world champion, but the way he's ridden in the last 5 weeks has just been just unbelievably bad.
Well, like for Ducati, I don't know how it's all happened. Like, thank fuck for them, for Marc Marquez, because he's carrying the red at the moment.
I know.
But how good was it having Casey Stoner there, and his quotes of his rider IQ and IQ in a sport is understated, Casey Stoner, because when he said, and I love this, normally you have hard work beat talent until talent decides to work hard, and that's Marc Marquez. Mm. And like, I would just watch that and I go, that is one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard.
Yeah, it really, you heard that and you're like, you had chills, you know, the hair stuck up in the back of your neck because you're like, it's so true. I mean, it is true. I mean, it's a great quote, and that will go down in history. It was great to see him there. It was great to see him and Valentino Rossi, you know, hugging and talking before the race. Yeah. I thought the footage was fantastic.
Yeah, so did
and I. They had the 500cc bikes on there. They had Pedrosa on his... Was he on the Honda?
He was on an old KDM, like 125, 250 thing.
Like, that's awesome. And unfortunately, the crowd was down significantly in Austria because you've got Hungary now and all these other European tracks taking probably a lot of the countries that weren't, you know... We would go somewhere close at home. So it was about 40% down in crowd, which is not good because it would have been amazing to be there. I mean, I loved the rock anthem at the start for the national anthem. That as a pre-race, imagine we had that Philip Island, be incredible, you know? And I think it was a great spectacle. They do it really well there.
Yeah, they did that. The skydivers and those gliders landing.
The gliders were cool. Yeah, they just landed in the bloody... That was
cool.
Yeah, I was having flashbacks, but they landed all right.
Lucky it wasn't New York.
No, exactly right.
But yeah, got with Casey Stoner and how he kind of summed up the whole situation of Mark Marquez, it was so true. Like, you know, the dude obviously won all these championships, has to come back for 5 years, and now, as you said, you know, that all that hard work and that talent, this is what you get in 2025. And yeah, I just can't really picture anyone being just so unstoppable like this. Like, he just doesn't look like even losing. Okay, qualifying's different. Like, he crashed out qualifying, got fourth, whatever. But that's also Mark Marquez.
Doesn't matter, though.
But, like, he doesn't even look like... You know, remember at the start of the year, I said to you, Tom, like, I'm watching Mark Marquez and it just looks like he's going to crash at any corner? It doesn't look like that now. It just... He just looks like he's just got it in the bag the whole time.
Doesn't run wide, doesn't miss a braking, doesn't miss an apex. Yeah. Like,
and
he's
even
so
when
rock solid.
Furman was chasing him, I was like, okay, even if he pulls it down to half a second, he's just chilling.
Yeah.
You know, he's got more in the tank.
Because Marquez got up to Bezzecchi and he got in with him about 2 or 3 tenths, and then he went back about a second. And I think it was all tire pressure. And then, you know, as soon as you saw 8 tenths, 7 tenths, 6 tenths, you're like, all right, race over. Gave us a little bit of excitement, though. And it really did. It was probably one of the... It was the best race for me in a while.
Yeah, wow.
I really enjoyed the race. I think it was super interesting. And I love that late race person coming through the field and nearly winning. Like, that's MotoGP for me.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it starts getting stagnant. And then you're like, oh my God, Furman's just done the fastest lap, 129.1. Yeah. And everyone's like, what the hell?
Yeah, and then he does it again.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, he came from sixth to second in like 5 or 6 laps. I mean, that's just... That's That's
and
awesome.
And some hard, good, aggressive passing.
Yes. So we'll go from the high of Fermín Aldeguer to the rock bottom of Yamaha.
Yeah.
Worst race in their history, you'd have to say.
All four on the bottom four, weren't they?
30 seconds
behind. Unfortunately for them, Chandra wasn't racing. Otherwise, would have had a little bit of reprieve.
See, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th. I mean, it's just... Yeah, it's a dark time. I mean, what do you do, James? You just wait? Are they just waiting, traveling around, waiting for this V4 to come? Like, what? They're just making up numbers at this point.
They are making up numbers. Obviously, that track doesn't suit them to a degree. Cordararo's actually had a little bit of success on the Yamaha quite a few years ago in Austria, weirdly enough. It's definitely not their track. But, like, Augusto Fernandez came out and said, I'm done testing the inline four. Like, all I want to do is ride that V4. And if that's your attitude, then, you know, it kind of just sums it up as well. Like, these guys want the V4. Like, this is where it is. And there's a lot of pressure now. And even, I think, Matt Burt said on the meet in you know, the commentary in one of the practices or whatever, he said, you know, this is where the pressure is going to lie in the second half of the season for Yamaha, is this V4. There's a lot of questions now being asked about it.
Yeah.
Tom's been asking questions for a year and a half about that and got zero answers from anyone.
I know. I think that's actually a barometer of what's going on at Yamaha, because we all don't know. Like, dude, I mean, it was at the start of the year. I'm like, the V4 has got to be coming, doesn't it? Like, it's got to be here at the start of the year. They're like, no, they haven't even tested it yet. I'm like, what? Like,
so they've
had all this time. They've had years and years and years and years. And now they wait till the end of the regulations to...
And they've tested it, but they don't want to. They don't want to use it until they know it's on par with the inline, which I don't reckon it is yet. But fuck, man, like, they're in dire straits, and they've easily gone the most backwards, which is amazing to say from round 3 when KDM were nowhere. Honda were up, you know, they were doing okay, I guess.
Dude, even like Aprilia at the start of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Aprilia is the second fastest bike, and KTM's the third. We're going back to where we were last year.
Yeah.
Well, we thought, you know, make Honda great again, and the Japanese are listening to us, and they're both fourth and fifth now, realistically.
Yeah, Honda's showing so many more glimpses, though. Like, one, me, six in a track that doesn't suit a Honda.
And to Mir's credit, he probably would have got 4 or 5, 6 places in the last 10
for
rounds.
For sure. And that's what I've been saying this whole time. And that six was a genuine six. No one crashed out in front of him. That's a genuine six. And he should have a whole lot more points where, you know, he's either crashed out, I get it, and that's the fault of the Honda, or, you know, being taken out and he's been super unlucky. We all know about that. The Honda, I still believe, is light years ahead of that Yamaha, which wasn't the case 2 to 3 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Quartararo was 10 laps away from winning a race, you know,
and
7 weeks ago, and it's all gone down from there.
They've arguably got the second best rider on the grid on, by far, now the worst bike, you know, which is a shame.
Yeah.
And they need to do something about that. And I think Quartararo must be, his patience would be wearing very thin, because They are. There's just no development. Seem to be any forward development. I'm sure they're developing, but there's no forward development in that Yamaha at all.
Yes. Liberty Media coming in is going to change a lot of things. And I'll tell you what. I'll tell you an example. It was a 1,000th Grand Prix on the weekend. Okay. The 1,000th Grand Prix on the weekend. Okay. Since 1949, it was 1,000 MotoGP / 500cc. Did anyone know it was?
Bro, I had zero
I had found
idea.
Out 5 minutes before the race it was.
Is that what they say on the telecast? Yep. What are they doing, man?
That is a classy example of not promoting the event. I mean, F1 had it like 3 years in the making. It was going to be in Shanghai, China. It was going to be the biggest event, you know, in a long time. You know,
Curdy, yeah. Curdy saying it should be announced at the start of the year.
For me, like Marquez winning the 1,000th Grand Prix, Hamilton winning, like it could have been he won the 1,000th Grand Prix. The two, you know, arguably goats of the sport, nothing made of it, you know.
And that is unbelievable.
I just couldn't believe that, you know, 5 minutes before the race, this is a 1,000th Grand Prix. The first Grand Prix was in 1949 at the Isle of Man TT, won by so on and so forth. I'm thinking, why wouldn't they make this something? You know, the crowd, the more they would have got people from everywhere over the world coming to see
it. More people would have watched it.
You know, I mean, that's why Danby was there.
Really?
Danby was there because it was a 1,000th Grand Prix. He wanted to be there to see Marquez win the 1,000th Grand Prix. And none of us knew. I'm sure a lot of viewers and listeners at home would have listened to the start. You might have listened to the pre-race because I know you watched a little bit of delay. But for me, I was like shocked. I was like, what is going on? A 1,000th Grand Prix. So I'd love to hear the people at home like comment if you knew it was a 1,000th because I didn't.
Oh, man,
James still didn't know.
I had no idea until just then. But that is unbelievable. And even like in the post-race podium, I heard nothing. There was no t-shirts, nothing like saying you won. Nothing.
Nothing. So
man, that is strange. that is something Liberty Media will change. But we're going to have to wait another 1,000 races to get to 2,000.
I know. Like, that is going to be one of the most monumental things to win 1,000 Grand Prix.
I mean,
it only comes around every, what, 50 years, whatever it is, you know?
They did the 75-year anniversary, which was last year at Silverstone.
Yeah.
And they must have just put the whole budget into that. But the 1,000th Grand Prix, I actually think, is a bigger
thing. Bigger thing. You won the 1,000th Grand Prix. There's the first, there's 1,000, and then there's like the 10,000.
That's crazy.
I know, and 10,000 will be in like 300 years. They'll be in fucking, they'll be on hydrogen by then.
They'll be hover bikes.
The motorbike that we know now won't be the motorbike that it is there. It's going to be a completely different sport. Like, it is just unbelievable that wasn't celebrated more. And I'd love to know at home what you guys think that, why that is. And I mean, it's just,
someone dropped the ball there. Come on.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to me. And 1,000, I mean, Matt Burt comes out and 1,000th Grand Prix. And I'm like, holy hell. So, yeah. Couldn't believe it. And then Danny put something up today. I mean, he was there. He wanted to be there for Hamilton winning the 1,000. He wanted to be there to Marquez to win the 1,000. So
good track to have the 1,000 at as well. It was Austria still.
Dude, man, they could have done there.
I know.
That's why they had all the riders. That's why they had the stoner in there. Like that's. But they didn't promote it. No one knew.
But I saw all the riders, but I just thought it was a homage. There was no connection.
I know. It didn't make sense. I mean, actually, yeah, you're right. They tried. They just said, oh, yeah, called a few of the buddies. Boys, come over. It's 1,000 Grand Prix. But didn't tell the public. So
that's like a motorcycle industry thing to do right there.
It is. And that is the difference. And that's going to be being run by this corporation that will be all over this thing. Everything to make an extra dollar, you know, they will be doing.
But, okay, yeah, to make an extra dollar. But it's also it also works for the fans. Like the fans are always going to get around.
They want to be there for it.
You sell merchandise. Everyone can have special liveries. You sell that special livery merchandise. Like it is. And you know, if a t-shirt's normally $90, I'll charge $160 and get it every time.
James is the biggest MotoGP fan I know, and he didn't know it was a 1,000th Grand Prix. So I think I might be onto something there.
Yeah, no, you're dead. I'm the barometer for that.
Yeah.
I'm the barometer for that. I had to watch a sprint race absolutely obliterated on Saturday night.
Yeah, three ones.
That's a lot more than that. That's a lot more than that. 3.5, thank you very much.
I forgot about the dessert one you had at the end. Sorry about that. Interesting fact, you said before about Bagnaia being 8 seconds a lap slower, but It was interesting. It was the first track all year they were slower in qualifying this year than they were last year. Yeah, so I don't know what that was.
Maybe track conditions. Track conditions.
Yeah, they were 0.3 of a lap slower. So I think we're not going to try to jump on the Marquez train too much, but yeah, Marquez crashing and not finishing his last lap probably contributed to that. But
yeah, 0.3 is a lot in qualifying though. But if anyone's going to do it, he will.
Now the other big news, well, not big news. Again, it wasn't sort of flew under the radar a little bit. Was this new stability control there? Yep. They've got this weekend. So I didn't know this, but it's actually a software update for their ECUs.
Yeah.
So Dorna set up. We're going to do it for this race. We're software updating it. The laptop gone. We've unlocked the code. Like you've clocked. What do you call it when you go on the Call of Duty, Curtis, and you're...
Prestige.
He's their prestige. So they've gone back to one. And it's an anti-high side situation, they're saying, which I think is fascinating. I just can't believe they brought something along like this. They can just do a software update and then it changes all the bikes.
Yeah, there's more to it than that. It works on like a lean angle and everything as well. I tried understanding a lot of it and I just really...
It was confusing.
It's really confusing. But a lot of the older riders don't like it at all. Like Mark Marquez, I think Zarco was one, where they're not a massive fan. And it's interesting, listening to Casey Stoner's point of view, he didn't like it either. And he's like, even going into these new regs, like it's not going to make it any safer. Like he said, you got to change aero. You got to strip back all the aero, and where all the safety concerns are is not actually corner exit; it's corner entry.
Yeah, so that's what happened in the big high sides this year. You looked at like Iagura and Assen. I mean, that was a massive one in corner entry. I mean, that's scary, and it really pops you off. And
Marquez had a similar.
What they said was in the media today, it was the big issue with high sides is that's where they're all dying because you're high siding into the corner. You're in the middle of the track and you get hit. With a low side, you just fall, you travel into the gravel trap, your bike's out of the way, you're out of the way, perfect. So it's all got to do with they don't want people high siding because there's been many deaths in the last 2 years. I mean, it seems like every, 4 or 5 months, one of the BSB riders or one of the junior category super sport riders, I mean, it's a big problem with the sport at the moment.
Yeah, it's not going to get that technology though. It's only MotoGP, but I guess it feeds down into that. But
true.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one. I think there's different ways to make it safer. But this is always goes in roundabouts, man. Like, they say they wanted to make the 800s safer in 2007 or whatever it is.
Mm.
And that didn't work. It lasted 2 years. So I don't know if it's going to...
Yeah. For me, it's... they were saying today, what was interesting to me is they can... There might be a point where they can turn down the traction control to have more of stability control so they can spin up the rear tire more, which may make it look more exciting. But who knows? We'll see what happens over the next couple of years.
And they're good enough to half of them spin up the rear tire anyway. Look at Stoner Corner.
Yes, true. True, true, true.
How's Bezzecchi, man? His form is just up and up and up.
Yeah, he's...
Mr. Aprilia.
He's done... he did an amazing job over the weekend and... Super impressed. Whatever, I mean, as I said, halfway through the race, I mean, whatever happens from now, from this point, he's done an amazing job in the weekend to put it up to Marquez. Marquez having, you know, the worst thing you can see is a pit board saying Marquez 0.0. I mean, that's the scariest thing and one of the scariest things in motorsport, as we know. So for him to stay in front for that many laps, obviously fell back as the race went on, but...
Get bullied out of it and then passed him back.
Correct.
Not many
people
do that.
I mean, yeah, I think, and to me, again, not to... bash on Bagnaia at this stage, but he put up a much bigger fight than Bagnaia's done all year.
Yeah, Bags put a fight in to his credit in Mugello, and that was about it.
Yeah,
but Bezzecchi, like he's.
But even that was 3 or 4 laps.
Yeah,
and then Marquez went. I mean,
Bags is pretty good at like throwing it back up the inside when he's confident.
Yeah,
straight away. Where maybe Bezzecchi, he's probably a bit more, but that's all you can do with Marquez is as soon as he passes you, you got to pass him right back. If you give him like 3 corners, he's gone.
Well, you saw that with, he passed him in the perfect position eventually because he lost all momentum into that shit chicane they've got. And then the race was gone from there.
But
so.
His stocks went up big time this year, hasn't it? Marco Bezzecchi for Aprilia. They must love
him. Dude, he's gone from like, he's saying like he's this quiet guy and like we've met him in the paddock before, really nice guy. But seeing him post-race in the, you know, his haircut looking slick in that post-race, you know.
He's got the Aussie mullet now.
Where they sit around, they speak Spanish, we can't understand him. But he's a rock star. Like he looks like a rock star. And you know, I was thinking to myself, dude, if this guy gets on a win and puts it to Marquez, the Italian public are going to get behind him like
big time,
like you have not seen since Rossi. And this guy could be the next absolute superstar in MotoGP. He's so close, you know, he's so close. So
He's come out of his shell a bit. You're right, Curtie. And you know, he I guess he can now because he's got results backing it up. But yeah, you're right. He's a rock star, but you know, you're going up against Marc Marquez, and that's a very difficult thing. But he is the only one showing any fight in the past four races.
Yep.
And basically, you know, with obviously Alex Marquez, but showing any fight to Marc, and he is Mr. Aprilia. He is the man for Aprilia. And it'll be interesting to see what Aprilia do with a fully fit Jorge Martin at the end of this year and then going into testing into next year, and who they favour, if they're going to favour anyone, because I think that all their allegiances, to a degree, will be Mr. Marco Bezzecchi. Curtis.
If Aprilia fixed their out-of-corner speed, because the Ducatis are so much quicker out of the corner, you see with Marquez just getting out of there, out of the jump compared to Bezzecchi's, if they can fix that, Aprilia's a fucking contender.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. If they can, if Aprilia can fix a, corner exit, but like that's Ducati's bread and butter. You know, where that's the whole bike squats down.
I know what they were saying. Marquez squats down. This track in Austria, they have to bring a special compound because the acceleration is so hard coming out of those corners. I mean, it's just, it's so different to every other track they go to on the calendar.
KTM, bro, have they found something? Pedro Acosta's being quick. Enea Bastianini got a fifth.
It's upsetting that Vinales is injured, isn't it? Because I'd love to see what he'd be able to do on that bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely, yeah.
Binder had a bit of a better race, but
it's Austria. It was important for them, man. Like, it's important for them to show, you know, the home faithful that, you know, they can push for podiums at least. I mean, Acosta, I think, was pushing. And probably Acosta of last year might have crashed at that point, but he stayed on the bike, finished fourth, Binder seventh, which is, you know, unbelievable for him this year.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. But, I mean, time will tell. I mean, this new track coming to next week, I think we need a more traditional track coming up.
You're exactly right. You had Bruno, which no one's been there in forever. Then you had Austria, which is a home track, and they know, you know, the back of the hand. And then you've got Balaton Park, whatever it's called, which is a new track again. So, once we get back to, I think, San Marino maybe is one after, then that's going to be the barometer.
San Marino, and then we're off to Motegi after that, I believe.
No, we still got Barcelona.
Oh, Barcelona before. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think we got those two. So,
yep.
They're going to be the ones. So, you know, I'm still not completely sold on KTM, but Pedro Acosta looks like he's found his mark a little bit. Same with Enea Bastianini, a little bit more consistent.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so I reckon Bastianini would have been right up there, but he ran wide, probably lost 3 or 4 seconds. He almost went through the penalty loop.
Mm.
And then just couldn't get back past. I mean, just dents your confidence as well.
Yeah.
You know, nearly coming off the bike, outbreaking yourself. But it's just those little things. I mean, like, you know, he was fighting Binder at that stage and, sorry, Acosta at that stage, actually. And then Acosta finished, you know, fourth and 6 seconds behind the leader. I mean, you know, what could have been?
What could have been, bro? Moto2?
Yeah, Moto2. Yes, it was a scary incident for our boy Senna Aegis, unfortunately, coming off turn one. So, yeah, I thought the worst, to be honest. I was, it was a rough minute there when they didn't have any replays and then we saw him walking away. And battered and bruised. He's in Barcelona at the moment getting a checkup. But from all reports, he is pretty A-okay.
It was scary.
It was super scary. So, again, another great race. I mean, I really enjoyed the race and, you know, again, that Marrera is MotoGP bound from all reports.
Yeah, he's just made a statement, hasn't he? And then it sucks for Manny Gonzalez, had like a radiator problem, but he was going to be thereabouts.
Dude, he had a stone from Senna's crash go into his radiator, lost all, like water started flowing out.
So unlucky.
But it opens a world championship. Why?
20-something points now.
Yeah, so Diego Moreira first, Danny Holgado, your boy second, bro. Huge. That's very good. Dude, also Celestino Vietti third. Very confusing with Colin Vire when I'm watching the thing. Because even Matt Bird said, oh, Vietti Park. I said, no, Vietti's in third. Why are they saying he's in seventh? They always get it stuff because it's C-V-E-I versus V-I-E. So confusing. Albert Arenas continuing his form in fourth. Tony Arbolino.
Your boy, has been listening to you. Fifth. Both Italians have been listening to you.
Fifth from the Bosca Scuro. Nice. Ortola sixth. Barry Baltos seventh. Colin Vaya, eighth, which is amazing.
Great
as well.
Ride as well, yeah.
Guerrera, ninth. Now, Guerrera crashed in practice, watched it firsthand. I think he broke a finger. Had to adjust his braking style through the whole weekend. He normally breaks with four fingers, had to only break with two.
Yeah, right.
And for him to get into the top 10, amazing effort. Not spoken about anywhere. And then Aaron Canet rounding out the top 10.
Gonzalez got lucky, though, if Aaron Canet's 10th.
Yes, true. Now, I, watching this race, thinking to myself, it's a very much a changing of the guard in Moto2. I mean, you've got Holgado, Moreira.
David Alonso was fourth until he crashed.
David Alonso, yeah, I was up. He was third, wasn't he?
Yeah, he might have been third, actually. You're right, yeah.
Like a real changing in the guard. I mean, over the years, you've had, you know, your Jake Dixons and your Lopez's and, I mean, Arbolino's
been
up
Arbolino's been there. Chalasina Vietti's been there. Canet's kind of always been there.
But I find, yeah, Joe Roberts, you know, that sort of thing. But for me, it's a real, like these young kids who haven't been on these bikes for as long as traditionally they are when they get good. It's super, it's a pack of talented young kids coming through.
Daniel Holgado, bro, a very understated, him and Colin Vaya ride, because being P2 in his first year, and he's looked quick in a lot of races, but that was definitely like a breakout race. Same with David Alonso. I know he crashed, I understand that, and he was pushing.
Yep.
But again, those two boys are going to be looking very, very competitive for next year. That Aspar team looks awesome. And Colin Vaya, and that is an understated result because he was injured for like the first half of this year. A lot of races he was out. So to get, what was it, P8 or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Very, very, very good effort. So.
He's got some talent, Vaya. I like him.
He almost won the title.
I like him. I think he's got a big future ahead of him, and but very excited for him.
Bro,
for that.
There is just so much talent, and then it going from Moto 3 to Moto 2 shrinks, Moto 3 to Moto 2 shrinks, and then Moto 2 to fucking Moto GP. It's just the, how do you do it?
Well, Moreira to Primark is the latest rumor that coming sucks. Out. And
so who's going? I think they're flicking. Who are they going
to? Oh, Oliveira has to be, doesn't it?
Well, they're sticking fat with Rins. Bro, if you're going to... I would almost turf both of them.
Oh, you have to. I mean, how is Rins still on that bike?
Come on, I love Alex Rins.
But there's been some real chatter about Senna. And you got to remember that he's a 19-year-old kid. A lot of people don't realize him and David Alonso are the same age. Yeah. I mean, we can't stop talking about this, where he's very young to be in Moto2 and to be up there. So it's exciting.
Couple of years. So. Yeah, so he's signed, obviously, for Moto2 next year, but there is chatter wanting to put him on a bike. And I think it sounds like the grid always want an Aussie on there, which is good for us at least. But it's exciting for him. He's already in form. Like, he qualifies well. He's just a shit race this race. But I know he'll move on to the next one. It'll be interesting for these like Moto3, Moto2 guys and MotoGP going to Bellerton Park and never been there before.
Yeah, I think we talk about it all the time that someone who's going to be up to speed faster, it's a real talent for that. You know, there's a real talent for being up to speed fastest. You know, you see the Marquez, they go out in the first lap and they do a really competitive lap time. It's just the difference, you know.
Do you think it's an unfair advantage? Sorry, just go back to MotoGP for a second, where Ducati's already tested there. So all the Ducati riders have been to that track.
Yeah, I think so. But they're on street bikes. I mean, it's...
But you know the layout.
You do 100%. But I'm sure they do a lot of... Would they be seeing at home those riders playing it on PlayStation? I think they would be.
Maybe.
I think they would be.
I think for a new track, maybe you kind of have to.
You have to. I remember there was a track on the F1 game. It was like the Vietnam track. No, it never actually got built, but it was on the game. It's crazy because they ran out of cash or something, which was...
Nah, surely not. Soviet, Southeast Asia.
Soviet-Vietnamese. All right, Moto3.
Go on.
I'm going to say it was the race of the year for me, James.
A great race.
And I, again, you know why it was a race of the year is because it was a fizzer at the start. I'm thinking, oh, this is just a stock standard. There was four that broke away. And then halfway through the race, boom, it just all happened. They were fighting for the victory. And then you had the number four coming from behind. And then you had...
The two packs emerging. You never see that in Moto3.
No, you don't. You don't.
You never see the two packs merge back again. There's always a lead, someone trying to chase them down, but I think it was Furusato or whoever it was, which the Japanese never normally, buddy, we'll talk about that, but talk about, they never normally, you know, catch that first pack, but it happens. See, Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners. All your favorite drivers and riders.
Phil Marquez, Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the all the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run your Motorsport Republic a t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, no, it's, yeah, it was, that is the wrong results, James. Rueda did not win. Hang on.
Go on.
Talk amongst yourselves for a sec. And then, yeah, Munoz just doing Munoz thing. So I'm turning into Curtis trying to get these results up. Sorry about that. Give me a second.
Precarious.
Some reason I'm on the top speed. I got the speed track.
Oh, give us that then. 212 kilometers an hour. Joel Kelso, 2011. Precarious. All right, don't want the Spa Grand Prix either, please.
Piqueras first, Yamanaka second, Munoz third, Quiles fourth, Rueda fifth, which was, he was about 13th with five laps to go, so very lucky. Furusato sixth, unlucky Japanese. Valentino Peroni, most Italian Argentinian going around, seventh. Fernandez eighth. Pini,
which
ninth.
Fernandez, brother? There's fucking about 8,000 of them.
A Fernandez. Adrian. Pini 9th and Carpe 10th. Now, Kelso rounding up the top 11.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention Moto 2. Our boy, 42-year-old.
Pacini. I was going to message you that.
Finish
actually.
The race.
Yeah.
Finish the race and he's... is it the Snipers team? I don't know. It's not.
It's not the Snipers. Snipers is Moto 3.
Big money, but big money, I reckon he's got. He pays his ride to get a couple of years. So good on him.
Yeah. He's pro. He's been racing since we're in primary school.
Yeah, so Munoz so aggressive into that second last corner as always. He was going to be, he was going to be.
I like it.
We had a few messages saying over aggressive, race ban, et cetera, but the thing is, you have to do this in these small categories to be.
It's the only one because it's a dog eat dog
and
world,
it's
bro.
Like Marrera, like he made a ridiculous thing, smashing going back on the racing lap with David Alonso. But he's going to be signed for MotoGP because he's showing something.
Exactly.
They don't give a shit about the buck ups. All they care about is the results.
Bro, Marc Marquez is Mr. Example of that.
I know. So to be reserved and to not to, oh no, I can't I'll let him through and won't be too, it's not going to get you anywhere in this industry.
Well, and it's a difference in almost cultures because the Spanish are so hot-headed, but then you've got the Japanese and they're so calm and calculated and that can really work. But you just see the Spanish are the ones that are getting signed into the MotoGP teams and being fast. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But
well, like Joel said last week, I mean, the thing is, the Spanish are getting signed for these big factory rides because they're bringing all these Spanish sponsors and that's who's watching the race. So, it's so hard for an Aussie or, these South Americans that are coming through, there's some young, talented South Americans. Are they going to get to that? Are they going to get that ride because they haven't got the sponsors? Now, it probably affects more of the lower classes more than the MotoGP. But yeah, time will tell. Now, Quiles, that kid's going to be he already is a star, he gets passed, okay? He goes down to third. Then left-hander, double pass back to the lead. It's just those little things you notice. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, he's under this camp of Marc Marquez. Furman is as well. It's just this whole thing. It's the whole La Familia. What's the Spanish version of La Familia? La Siesta. But he is going to be an absolute star. And if I could put money on the sports bet, I'm a notorious gambler, Tom. if I could put money on Quiles to win the championship in Moto3 next year, I'll be putting
$1
$500 on that.
$500?
Yeah.
Okay. That's big for you.
Take out a loan.
Now, Japanese doing Japanese things.
Talk to me. Yeah, so I had to watch this on delay and you go, bro, whatever you do, just watch the Moto3 podium.
So we had Piqueras and Munoz on the podium. Obviously, they lost quite a close friend and rider last week and the name escapes me, but
It was even on Marquez's helmet, his number.
Yeah, so they weren't going to celebrate on the podium. They were standing on the podium. We're going to have quite a reserved podium, no champagne. Yamanaka had different ideas, grabs a podium bottle, sprays them both with the spray champagne. And they're trying to clap. And then Yamanaka turns around thinking, oh no, what the fuck have I done? Biggest smile. Even he thinks it's hilarious. just no common sense.
That was wild.
Read the room, as I said last night.
That was a tough watch.
That was a tough watch. And then, it was... I haven't seen anything like that before. And we were actually... We were told on last night by someone, they said Senna Aegis nearly did that when the Pope died. Because what they do, they get their cap and they put it backwards. And that's when they do about the spray the champagne. And apparently center on the podium got his cap, put it backwards, and then he realized, oh shit, and then put the champagne back down. So it could have been Jerez.
True. You know what though? It would be so hard to not get carried away and have your emotions go crazy because you've just got a podium or like one of your first podiums. Like, bro, like you'd be in such la la lands.
Yeah.
That I could easily do the exact same thing.
Yeah, the funny thing is Jan Menaka, like he wouldn't be dwelling on it. He'd be like, oh, what, he gives a shit. They don't care. It's hilarious. I don't care.
Making things up. He's just making stuff up.
He goes, oh, I sprayed him, got him good. He was laughing. That's so good. Good on you, mate. It's youth, mate. Youth.
Yeah, that's it. I love it. That is one of the funniest things I've heard.
All right, world famous hot takes, mate.
Bro.
Lissy's List ain't needs to come back. We haven't done Lissy's List for a while.
Yeah, I know.
We've been bloody too busy.
I know, it's all right.
Lissy's not providing the chewies, but it's all right. Listen, he needs to provide the chewies at work, mate. Someone lift.
Yeah, well, there's no more coffee runs and now he's not providing the chewies. It's unbelievable. Thank you, everyone, again. All the messages, there's fucking heaps. As usual, we say it every week, but it is. I love it. We love reading everyone's hot takes, and yes, we do filter through the Mark Marquez, Valentino Rossi stuff.
Keep coming, Bart.
Yeah,
we're gonna make our own documentary on it because I've been waiting for a documentary to come out about it.
Apparently, Liberty Media is making one.
Oh, good.
On the Rossi Marquez incident from Sepang, whatever.
What incident are you talking about?
Yeah. Let's go down that rabbit hole again. I reckon there was a couple, like there was the first 60 or 70 pods.
He did kick him, but.
The first 60 or 70 pods, there was a mention of that.
Every round, yeah.
Yeah, now all our it's podcasts. It's amazing.
And then, yeah, Daniel used to like defend and then we were like on the fence and oh, hilarious.
It was very funny. I wouldn't mind getting Damo back on for an opinion on that.
Yeah, Damo.
Well, he's a Casey Stoner fan now.
So Damo, full 180 somehow. I don't know why, but
tell the fans who Damo is.
Damo, the biggest Rossi fan ever. We had him on the pod, didn't get much out of him. but hated Casey Stoner. You know, worst human being on the planet. Him and Rossi, you know, hugging last night. Damo messaged me today. Yeah, Stoner, very talented writer. I love him. He loves him. The power of Rossi.
I've heard him say how much he hated. He said he hated Casey Stoner when we were at Anzac Day drinking beers.
Yeah.
I was talking to him about
it. But it's amazing the pull that the great man Valentino has on Damiano.
Cult-like.
It is cult-like. It's La Familia. It is.
It's very La
Familia is the cult.
He's like yellow hypnotized.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. At Simon Pigozzo. I'm so sick of Mark Marquez domination. He's too good. Martin needs to save us. Is Martin going to save us?
Jeez, it's a real question. We forget about Martin. I mean, we have to wait till next year now, but we'll see. I mean, he's got the talent, obviously. He's a world champion.
Martin isn't saving us from Mark Marquez. Not even a fully fit Aprilia Martin. Bro, Mark Marquez has won every sprint race bar one.
No, I disagree. I think he'll put it to him. Every round.
Fuck, bro. That's a big
call. A fit Jorge Martin on an Aprilia right now. You're saying to me that Bezzecchi is a better rider than Jorge Martin?
Maybe mentally at the moment.
100% mentally, but facts.
But Bezzecchi, you got to remember, Bezzecchi's, okay, it's been four rounds of Bez.
Of course.
And he's a second off at least the pace, which is a lot. Bro, a second's a lot. And Jorge Martin only just beat Bags last year. Just beat Bags. And Mark Marquez is destroying the field. It's Mark Marquez, 8 light years, Alex Marquez in the championship. Like Jorge Martin, yes.
Yeah.
It might be, okay, if it's 140 points now, maybe it's 95 points. Maybe it's 110. I can't see Jorge Martin. He's just not on the same level. And then you got to remember, you're going up against... It's a different fight when you're Jorge Martin fighting Pecco Bagnaia. That's a different fight than fighting the greats of Marc Marquez or Valentino Rossi or going up against Sebastian Vettel or Michael Schumacher. Like, it is so different. These guys are just kill or be killed.
I agree on that aspect, but I think if we had Martin here this year, it would have been a much more exciting championship. Not saying that Marquez wouldn't have dominated, but I think he would have put us out of the misery at some point in time in one of these races. I reckon he would have won a couple out of these last What's he won? 10 for the year?
Something like that. I don't know.
So
Something crazy. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a crying shame that we haven't had a fit Martin next year, but we've got next year. I mean, yeah, next year on the same bike, pretty much, we can really see what happens. So,
just the mental aspect for me would have been the most interesting part of that battle, because going up against Mark is just so different.
The only thing is, I think Martin would have relished smashing Bagnaia every week as well, though.
So, yeah.
So I think they were fighting for that.
Like 14th and 15th at one point, those two.
But those guys had 2 years, intense years of being rivals. Mm. And, you know, to see Bagnaia's downfall, I mean, it would have motivated Martin.
Well, for sure, on his Ducati.
Yeah.
On his Ducati. Yeah. But Marc Márquez is on his Ducati and look what he's doing.
But there's next year. This is a good thing. Next year. It's like a 44 race championship this
year.
Because you've got the same, it's going to be the same, pretty much the same bikes, the same regs, same everything next year. Because they're all going to be working on that 27 bike. So we'll have another chance.
At D Dylan, let's just say Dylan underscore D.Y.L. Expectations for Toprak in his first two seasons.
Oh, I think we answered this question a couple of weeks ago. I think anything in the top 10 in the championship will be a success, I think.
But you reckon that's what he's going to do?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to make a top 10. I was looking at that before. I don't think he's going to make a top 10. I don't think that Yamaha's up for it. Not for next year, at least, anyway. Maybe with the new regs, maybe. But next year, I think he's just like a lamb to the slaughter.
Well, I don't think... Is even Quartararo in the top 10, maybe? Who knows?
He might be. He might be just...
It's going to be a big learning curve for him.
Fuck yeah. At Patrick underscore Sigvarsson.
Oh.
Where is the limit with Pecco? Does he get one more year or will Ducati go full Spanish? Well, he gets one more year next year because he's contracted. But if he's, you know, eighth every race or whatever, which he's not going to be, he's not getting a contract.
Yeah, exactly.
He still lands podiums, Bagnaia, but that Austria was a telling round. And I can't write him off yet. I just can't.
No, we can't write him off. But you're right. I mean, thank God for Marc Márquez for Ducati Motor Company because, I mean, yeah. I mean, I just don't think they could have handled... I think in the media it would have been fine, but could they really handle a, you know, non-factory team winning the championship again on an old bike? I mean, it just wouldn't have made... It doesn't make sense.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense. So if Alex Márquez was leading the championship the way he would be, I mean, it'd be good for Ducati, but...
It's weird.
You know, it's just... It's still a failure in my books.
Yeah.
In a weird around way, of course.
No, I get what you're saying. At JoM1 underscore Pecco should have been on Fraud Watch months ago. Harsh. Mm. Very harsh. It's Cold Papa. How are we feeling so far for the predictions leaderboard, T-Shavs?
Predictions. You're coming back, actually.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it today, but no, I think I got Pedro Acosta and Márquez, right?
Yeah, Márquez. I mean, I had Bags up there. I had Alex Márquez up there. I think I might have had Acosta fourth, so might have got that one.
I had Acosta fourth as well.
Okay. Mm. All right. I think. Anyway. It's really good. We're going to make it bigger and better next year, Papa. You are going to be the chief operating officer of the predictions for 2026. I haven't asked him that. I'm telling him that. All right. So we'll make an announcement sort of end of the year what we're going to do. So jump on board on that.
At Willie underscore Nels. If Mav is out for the season, which current rider in any championship would you put on that Tech 3 KTM? I'd put Diego Moreira on that bike.
Yeah, I think it's just... I think he's going to... It sounds like he signed a contract with Yamaha, so I don't know if that's going to happen, but yeah, it's a hard one. There's nothing that really pops into my mind without sounding too boring.
Diego Moreira for me, or Manny Gonzalez, they both deserve it.
But they wouldn't go, though. They wouldn't go because...
Bro, if I was Moreira, I'd rather go to Tech 3 KTM right now than Primark Yamaha.
No, he's saying for the rest of the year. Why would you leave a championship battle in Moto2?
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. Correct. No. But just for the shits and gigs. This is hot takes. Hot takes in brackets, shits and gigs. At Riley underscore real. Aprilia will be fighting for wins soon. Sorry, Aprilia will be fighting for wins or podiums with both bikes next season.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. I think by the end of this year, they will be as well. If my head team just has to stay on the bike, if he's re-injured something last night, which I haven't,
nah,
I believe he hasn't.
He's fine.
But, you know, just stay on the bike, finish the race. I mean, you're fighting for 11th and 12th. Just stay on the bike. Just get race lap time. That's all you need.
He needs laps.
He needs he needs, what do they call it when you need track time?
Yeah.
You just need track
time. Seat time.
Seat time.
100%.
There's no, you shouldn't be pushing that hard. Like, you, if you finish 9th or 11th, who gives a shit?
I know.
You know?
And it's still a good result.
It's still a good result. Just stay on the bike. Finish the bike.
It's such a crying shame, isn't it?
Oh, like, man, yeah. It's that might be on your catchphrase. You stole it from me. Fucking hell. Made that one up. He's got it. He's, that's ADHD for you. Hyperfixation. Goodness, what are you doing?
At Boton DK4Lighty.
Been some bloody tongue twisters tonight.
What do you think? Does Bezecchi have the potential to become a champion one day?
Look, you know what?
This is a good question.
I had the flatter when he was in the, you know, in that post-race room.
Yeah,
with the
you
boys.
Got a bit of a crush on him.
Yeah, I had the flatter. He could be a superstar. I really do believe it. It's the first time, and like we were standing in the same room as him in the Aprilia box when he had the t-shirt off, and you know you were flogging yourself off.
I'm always doing that, but
and you know I just think, I don't know, bro. I'm like out of rabbit hole right now, but like the haircut, he looks sleek.
This is hyperfixation. You fucking autistic fuck. He's mentioned it 3 times.
The haircut, looking sleek. Yeah. You know, speaking of, and we haven't actually spoken about this, Jorge Martin came out and has said he has got autism. Did you know this?
Bro, how am I only just hearing this now?
We'll talk about this next week, but I'm led to believe
Is this called Autism Watch?
It's Autism Watch. He's come out and said that he has got a minor autism spectrum. He's on the spectrum. So we're going to dissect that next week. I'm going to do some more research.
That makes sense of the whole hyperfixation of the contract situation.
He's hyperfixated on motorcycles. He said this. Exactly right. No joke. Guys, don't hyperfixate on this one. I'll do my research. I'll have something presented next week.
They're joking. This is super autistic how you just came up with that after does Bezecchi have potential to come champion one day? That's the weave you just did.
Yeah. Sidetrack.
At Windmill, to answer your question, yes, he's got potential one day. Fuck, we're retarded. At Windmill _ Motorsports. This is a question for you. This is very interesting. Being a Moto 3 champ is low value. So many Moto 3 champs are lost in Moto 2.
Well, it's Moto 2 is a significant more achievement, and we found that out in the last couple of years, I think. Where we
I don't think that's changed, to be honest.
I personally saw them as like an equal, not knowing enough about the sport. But Moto 2 is a serious class, and like you can be a Moto 2 champion and you fulfill your career at that point. Where you're right, a Moto 3 champion, really, it doesn't mean a huge amount going into the future. If you're a 125 or Moto 3 champ, it doesn't really have that much weight around the town, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's hard to then progress your career. Like, if you don't progress to the Moto 2, then, like, bro, you're out.
Yeah.
Perfect example is Juan Macia.
Yes.
From Moto 3, now he's in the World Super Sport.
Yeah.
You know, after one bad year and choosing one bad team in Moto 2. So, yeah, it doesn't hold a serious
And
amount
Massey
of
showed a bit of fight when he first went to Moto 2, and then it just fizzled out from there. And, yeah, it is.
I just wanted to get your opinion on that. It's interesting.
It's sad. I mean, there's a lot of riders at the moment. I mean, I look at Alonso Lopez, and I saw him as like, fuck, he's going to be the next big thing, and has just done nothing this year. Nothing. So.
At Zanio _B, Austria is terrible. Can't overtake without other riders going off track or losing 2 positions.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of the track at all. I really don't think it provides good MotoGP racing. I mean, I think the 3 races were interesting and good, but for me, it's, I think it's definitely more an F1 track.
Yep. Kyle _Man3, after Mark wins the championship, they should make him start from the back. That will get it. He'll still win.
You reckon he would? I don't think he would.
Nah, he wouldn't.
Get up to 7th or 8th, I think.
Remember Philip Island last year? He went down to 17th.
Yeah. I remember he was passing. He passed like 5 riders without a peg in Coda.
Yeah, he still did faster laps than Chancha.
Yeah, it's crazy.
At Jack Giles, fuck it, La Familia, one of the VR46 boys is out, Marini back in. I think Marini is going to re-sign for Honda.
Really? Right? Yeah, okay.
That's a word out of the street. So, yeah. That's it, bro.
All right. Thank you. That was really enjoyable. We've got a bit of an interview with a MotoGP finance connoisseur next. So, we are going to have that as a separate pod. So, we'll release that probably later in the week.
Yeah.
If you are a Patreon member, you'll get that in the next couple of days.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.